You live in Minnesota. Let's ask you first about the Wild. Bit of a renaissance this year. They add Ryan Suter, Zach Parise. Did you notice a difference? Because the fans have been so dedicated and haven't got much back in the last several years.
It's not there yet. I think they had the promise. I think at the end of the year, I mean, they stumbled into the playoffs. You know, they if it wasn't for, you know, basically a little help from the league office and a disallowed goal against Colorado, they might not have made it. But I think people were excited. They came in. They saw the shortened season. They loved it. And I think at the end of it, they came away going, you know, all right, we have a good enough team to battle for the playoffs, but we're not in that top echelon where you want to be.
You're from St. Catharines. You played in the OHL in Kitchener. You bounced around a few different teams, Brian. Why call Minnesota home?
You know, I played here 10 years, most of my younger years, and I went to school every summer and for accounting finance. So, you know, coming out, I'm an institutional trader now, so and, you know, I just think that parallels the fact that such a good business community, similar to Toronto. But, you know what, I had enough contacts here, and I liked the area enough to, you know, when I got married to raise my kids. So I've had a couple opportunities come back and, you know, speculating on another now.
Brian Bellows is our guest, 485 NHL goals, just a phenomenal career, and obviously the Stanley Cup with the Canadiens in 93. Now, you get traded basically right before training camp. Were you anticipating it's kind of late in the summer to make a deal, and you go to a team and had a phenomenal season, obviously, with the Habs, but was it were you ready for a change? Was it a crushing blow? I mean, the North Stars was kind of all you knew up until then.
It was. You know, I was... I was ready. You never know. Back then, you never really asked to be traded. It just kind of happened. But I was, you know, I think mentally ready. I think that, you know, in those 9-10 years, we probably went through 6 or 7 coaches, and then you kind of wanted a place where they had stability. And you wanted a place where, you know, at least the theory was you try and get to the Stanley Cup every year, which is Montreal's philosophy. You know, if you get in the playoffs, then you have a chance of winning. And if you don't make the playoffs, you're not going to have a chance.
Was there an adjustment for you understanding how to play the Montreal Canadiens way and understanding the passion of the fans in that city?
No, I think what's interesting there, you know, two-prong is the amount of pressure, especially on, you know, on players when they first come, if they get traded or if they have a higher marquee value, there's a lot. And that part I thought was fantastic. You know, you're expected to play well. They show up. They want you to play well. And I think that's really interesting. The flip side is, you know, when you're going to get your dry cleaning, the dry cleaner is asking why you haven't scored in three games. So you got to balance it off. There's good and the bads. Like I tell people, I said, you know, I got a chance to experience what I call playing for the Yankees of baseball. You know, people they're passionate. They want you to do well, and they really expect it. And with that comes a lot of accolades, and with that comes pressure. And when you don't perform, you know, they let you know.
That's why dry cleaners can't keep their customers in Montreal, though. There's been a lot of problems with that.
They keep switching you.
Yeah, waiters, you know, barbers. It's not that easy to pull off. Now, that playoff's fascinating to me because I remember sitting there, you know, a kid in university, so watching the Nordiques, and they beat you the first two games. What was the feeling like? Not a long trip, obviously, but going into Quebec City. I mean, they had a stacked team then, too. If you guys didn't win that year, they easily could have. They were that good, and you just pulled everything out of the hat and turned that series right around. And obviously, I think you're 16-2 the rest of the way after losing the first two games. I'm incredible.
There was, you know, at that point, it was us, Boston, and Quebec. We were all in the same division, three of the top six teams. And just going in, and I remember getting on the bus after the second loss in Quebec, and Jack Demers goes, you know, what are we going to do? We're not scoring goals. I said, well, Jack, you know, we haven't scored many goals in the last 4 or 5 games. Well, you can look at it that way. You can look at it as we're really due for an outbreak here. And I think we are. And he just kind of looked at me like, you know, he hadn't really, you know, because I think sometimes the theory is you kind of look at it a little negatively instead of positively. And I looked at it as we were due, and then we had a, you know, mini explosion next couple games. And, you know, then we had a guy, Patrick Wanette, who, you know, arguably probably one of the best playoffs ever. You know what I mean? So, you know, it was a fun series. They were tough series. And then you have Buffalo beating Boston, which is surprising. And, you know, you correlate that to the playoffs this year, and you look at it as, you know, I really think if the Leafs beat Boston, they beat New York, and then, you know, it's a 50-50 versus Penguins. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the matchups you get. Sometimes it's a little luck of the draw, too.
There was something special about that 93 Canadiens team, Brian. You were involved in so many overtime games in that playoff run to win the cup. Was there just a sense when you would go to the dressing room overtime that you would find a way, you guys were just going to get it done?
You know, that confidence just completely just built up and built up. And it just got to the point where, you know, Patrick would stand up and in the dressing room and say, hey, guys, just take your time. Do it right. I will not let it go on. And it wasn't cockiness. It wasn't him being crazy. He just had he had the confidence in himself, and we had the confidence in him. And we just had that type of team. We were very patient. We waited for opportunities, played great defense, and whoever got it, got it.
Brian Bell is kind enough to join us. 20-year anniversary of the Montreal Canadiens winning the Stanley Cup this summer, and a lot of head coach potential. I want to ask you about Patrick doing it, but obviously Guy Carboneau went, and he's been a very good esteemed coach, probably is going to get back in the league. Kirk in Carolina right now. Did you ever see Patrick as a coach? They don't pick that many goalies as coaches, but if anyone's going to pull it off, it's probably somebody like Patrick, isn't it?
I think it is. You know, Patrick, to me, has always been kind of very misunderstood. I don't think people realize how much thinking goes into his game, how much time he put into it off the ice even back then. Give you a quick little story is when I first came there, when I first got traded, I could never understood how Cam Neely came down the right-hand boards and scored on him low in the Boston Gardens. And I went there and I mimicked some of those shots and I was scoring on him and I watched him put a week into training camp. I go up to him and his goalie coach and I said, I know why Cam Neely scores when you short side low. And they look at each other and they just kind of go, okay, tell us. And I told him the reason. You know, he's setting his left foot and he's pushing off that foot mainly to go down the butterfly so he can't spread it back out. And they just both looked at me and they go, okay, we will get back to you. They went and spent 4 hours that afternoon reviewing tapes. And then they came back and they said, yes, you are correct, thank you. Fast forward 4 months, I'm in a mini slump, haven't scored in 4 games. I come in after practice, and this shows you the type of leadership Patrick has. After practice, he comes up to me quietly and he says, you and I are going to go have lunch and we're going to come back. You're going to shoot pucks at me. I have 3 assistant coaches waiting and we'll look at film.
That's incredible.
No hollering and screaming, yeah. No embarrassment. Just, I'm going to help you get better because you helped me get better.
That's a great
touch. That shows what kind of leadership he has.
Brian Bello is our guest. What a great story. Now, before you go, the Leaf fans here, you know this well, are always lamenting the draft picks that got away. We're watching Tuukka Rask right now, 2 games away, and it it obviously boils the blood that they had him and then moved him and didn't get very much back. Now, the Leafs had the pick right after Minnesota. I've always wanted to ask you, Gord Kluzak going to Boston, they loved him. Was there ever a chance waking up on draft day that you thought, I don't know, Minnesota might do something different, and then I fall to the Leafs? Was that ever in your mind? Was it talked about? I mean, we don't speculate and do all these mock drafts back then like we do now.
To tell you the truth, I kind of knew it. Before I went into, as if my agent went into a bar in Montreal that night, and we saw the Boston crew over there on the other side, and none of them came over and said anything to us. And that's when they turned to me and said, something's up, you're not going to Boston. And that's when, you know, I got up the next morning and they said Lou Danny had made the trade. Traded the second round pick, I think Palmer and something else to make sure Boston wouldn't pick me.
Amazing. Now, is it true,
so I
Brian?
I knew I was going then.
Yeah. Did your dad have to fix the Stanley Cup when you had the day with the cup after you won with the Canadians?
Or is this urban legend?
Is this
No, I think back then everyone, it probably still happens. Everyone was taking the bottom off and carving their names into it. And we had a bit of that going on, too. We're out late, as everyone does. And, you know, I just think, you know, it's just amazing that you can actually do that, open it up and check out and see what's what names are in there. I'm sure they polish it up all the time, but you wonder if they just run out of material after a while. But we did have a little, what I would call a little sandpapering going on inside.
Brian, what a great visit. Thanks so much for doing this. And obviously some great memories of 20 years. I know you were up here and still so very involved in hockey with your son. We can't thank you enough for doing this morning.
Thanks, guys, and I'm glad to see that the Leafs fans got rewarded at least a little bit this year, and I think it's just a taste of what to come. They're going to be good.